If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your hosts, Uncle Bing and Michael B.
United States of America.
Got And good Sunday afternoon to you all, princes and princesses of patriotism. Today is July 21st, 2013. I am your host, Michael B., along with my partner, Uncle Bing, and this is Soldiers of Patriotism on the conservativenationradio.org, the mouthpiece for traditionalamericanmovement.com. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Jump on in, call us now, get in line, let your voice be heard. It is about 7 minutes after the top of the hour. I want to jump right into my tribute editorial today to Apollo 11. But first, I bet you're wondering why the Beatles come together. Well, for several reasons. After the verdict with Trayvon Martin, the many good friends I have, like Wayne Dupree, Christopher Arp, Stacey Swint, Cat Black, and many K. Carl Smith, and many other great American conservatives from the black community, in honor of America, excuse me, and what we stand for, I say, let's come together, folks. It's time to ignore the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons and the race pimps and the race baiters from the left who want to keep us divided, who want to divide America because they want to pad their pockets and they want to steal money from the folks in their own communities, rob them blind, and you know, hand them a lifetime of entitlements, but rob them of their God-given potential. But also on July 21st, 1969, the Beatles started to work with John Lennon on the song Come Together at Abbey Road Studios in London. The track became the opening song on the Beatles' Abbey Road album and was later released as a double A-sided single with Something on the B-side. You know, Something in the Way She Moves. Their 21st single in the UK and 26th in the United States when it reached the top of the charts. I bet you're wondering who's going to take us out musically. It'll be just as intriguing, and it won't be the Beatles. Now to my tribute. As you all know, I'm a Freemason. Yesterday, we celebrated the 44th year of Apollo 11. So I want to send out a cyber hand of brotherly love to Buzz Aldrin, the first Mason on the moon, the second man in humankind to step foot on another body in the heavens outside of Earth, behind Neil Armstrong. You know, when I reflect back to the late 60s and early 70s as a boy, America held in high esteem men such as Ed White, Buzz Aldrin, Jim Lovell, Gus Grissom, and Neil Armstrong. These men fed the imagination and planted the seeds of a can-do attitude of little boys and girls all across America. They held a nation captive as they took us to the heavens. These men were held in reverence in that place reserved only for firemen, policemen, soldiers, for they were of gods and heroes. Many of the hours were spent by my generation gazing up at the heavens, hoping, praying, straining as hard as we could to imagine that we saw that rocket ship so high above, staring at the moon in midsummer's July 1969, daring ourselves to see Neil and Buzz up there. They made us believe that impossible could be possible, that we could do and be whomever or whatever we wanted to be. And from that, look what my generation produced: Apple, Microsoft, but to name just a few. But then when you have dreams, anything is possible. I can recall the hours spent waiting for splashdown. Oh, that bygone time, that most anticipated and celebrated time of any Apollo mission, when the heroes came home bursting through the atmosphere in their man-made womb of life. Three incredibly large parachutes deploying and then crashing into the Pacific, where a nearby aircraft carrier was waiting and a helicopter would launch with frogmen who would jump into the Pacific and help free our heroes from the space capsule. We watched all this unfold before our very eyes, mostly on black and white televisions with all four channels. But then afterwards, after all of the pomp and circumstance, me, like so many red-blooded American boys, would pull out our astronaut G.I. Joe and our space capsule and our frogman G.I. Joe and spend hours in play losing ourselves in the moment. Who will forget Armstrong stepping out onto the lunar surface and saying these words, "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." Oh, those words. The beauty of what he said. Words that still live with us today. Those words launched us past the Soviets. They made sitting under a school desk during a duck and cover drill tolerable, because we knew that America was the best. It represented our freedom, our desire to excel, to be prosperous, to be a leader among men and the world. And we were. By God, we were. Those days of innocence have long since passed us. And in our fight, patriots, we still cling to those words that Neil uttered in 1969. And though our flag is tattered and worn, and though the threads may be frayed, she still shines bright. And we, us, Americans, doesn't matter the color, black, white, brown, purple, I don't care what you are. Uncle Bean doesn't care what you are. Our general manager, Teresa, she doesn't care what color you are. As Martin Luther King said, it's not the color of a man, it's the content of a man. Dr. Ben Carson said this morning, when he peels back someone's skin on their head and digs into their brain, he doesn't see black or white or brown. He sees the organ that makes a person. Together, my friends, we'll carry this battle forth. Today, I ask you all to remember those three men who said, and the one in particular who inspired a country. And with that, God bless America and Godspeed. Let me bring in my brother here, Uncle Bing. How's it going?
Dude, I got lightning going off all around me. I just screamed Gary. He's in. Gary O'Neill is in the studio, so he's available anytime we want. But yeah, I just told him, I said, I got lightning going on around me, man. It's making my hair go on end.
Let's make a few bucks and come out of this soft break and get Mr. O'Neill on, brother. What do you say?
I say that's a good plan, man, because obviously the Tennessee HQ up here is not doing a good job right now. I'm a little bit behind, but let the Texas guys take control a little bit.
All right. Well, do you got a live read for us, my brother?
I don't even have that, man. I wasn't able to get the printer, so...
Well, that's okay. We'll just go jump right into our making some money, and I'll get those live reads pulled up, and we'll do it on the next break, my brother. Stand by.
All right. Thank you.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, 1 out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
All right, and it is 16 after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. This is Michael B. from Texas Patriot Studios Command, along with my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing Fisher from Tennessee Patriot Studios Command. You can catch us at conservativenationradio.org. We are the mouthpiece for traditionalamericanmovement.com. With that, I'm going to hand it over to my partner, Uncle Bing Fisher.
Yeah, well, thank you, Michael. I wanted to introduce our guest here, a true warrior, because this man joined the service pretty much illegally, and I think he'll say that he did. He lied about his age, took the name of somebody else that he knew, and got into the army and fought, and was scared out of his daylights, but. Gary O'Neill, what a great story. I mean, just, you know, your whole family is in, and your lives, sir, but your whole family is just in the armed forces, were in the armed forces, fought for our war, fought for our country, and what an honor to have you on our show, sir. Welcome.
Well, it's a great honor. It really is. When it talks about the American conservative, you know, it's all about the Constitution of the United States. That's what it's all about.
Now, I was reading a book, and you started out, and you actually went into the Army or the Rangers, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And you went in with using somebody else's name.
Yeah, basically what it was is I went up to enlist, and they said I was too young, and I had to wait a couple years, and I didn't really want to wait a couple years, and it was like a target of opportunity. I was over visiting my uncle and auntie, and my cousin's birth certificate and Social Security card was laying on his desk and on his dresser, and I just looked at it and go, red light went on my head, and I snatched it up and went down to recruiters.
And
that was it. That started my career.
And you were at what age at that point? 16?
I was 15.
I mean, you've just done it all. I mean, you've been shot up more times than a colander, you know? I mean... You know, had exactly. Holes in. I mean, you were a prisoner of war. I mean, you know, just tell us. I'd like to ask you about, you know, what made you want to write this book?
Well, what it started out to be, and I called a good friend of mine up. He was one of my mentors, heroes, and a good friend. He's probably one of the highest decorated soldiers in the history of this country. His name was Robert Howard, Colonel Howard. We worked together in Special Forces, met him a few times in Vietnam in the SOG project, and we did a lot of work off and on throughout our careers. And I found out he was in the hospital in San Antonio, Texas. And so I just went to him, or I called him up, and wanted to talk with the head nurse and just let him know. I just let a message know. Just tell him Gary O'Neill called. And my prayers out for a speedy recovery. Hope to see him soon. And that was where it was at. And then I got a call back from his son, said that his dad wanted to talk to me about anything. I guess he just wanted to talk to me. So I waited around, and he called, and Bob talked to me about. He just kind of said, Young Ranger. That's what he started out with, Young Ranger. That's what he called me all the time, Young Ranger. He says, Young Ranger, I said, don't worry about me. I made my amends with the Maker. I'm in no pain. It's my time. He goes, but on your hand, you've been trained by some of the best combatants this country's ever produced, and you took it to a higher level. And you don't have the right to say anything. You don't have the right to take it to the grave with you, you know? So
yeah.
I said, but sir, and he says, what did I say? Just listen to me. I'm on transmit. You're on receive. Continue the mission, Charlie Mike, and get your story out there. Continue chasing the troops around and teaching them. And he hung up on me. So after that, I got put. He was the one that put me in for the Hall of Fame, along with he was one of the endorsements on it. And he didn't get to see me in the Hall of Fame because he died that December and July. I got inducted in the Ranger Hall of Fame. So that's where it started. And a lot of guys through my career said, "You need to get a book out. You need to get a book out. You need to get a book out." But because of my job and what I was doing, I didn't want to, you know, being out there in the public's eye trying to do a job, it don't mix, you know. So that's how it started. So I decided to put it out what he told me, you know, on his deathbed, and so that's what happened.
Well, I always like to know when we have an author on as far as what their impetus was behind writing a book, because some people have different motives and so on. Reading your book, I mean, it reads like, you know, like actually you wrote it. I mean, it's like, you know, it's that real. I mean, there's a little bit of cussing in there. It's not much. It's not nothing nobody can take, you know, but. I mean, you've been through it all, and your whole family has been through it all, haven't they?
Well, the research I did on our family and stuff, a real close friend of mine helped me out on it. It goes all the way back, my ancestors, John O'Neill, it goes all the way back to the 1700s, to the beginning of this country, this great country of ours. And John O'Neill, my fifth great grandfather, signed the oath of allegiance to serve with the Maryland militia during the Revolutionary War. And my fourth great grandfather, Peter O'Neill, the son of John O'Neill, was also in the Maryland militia and relocated to Bedford County, Pennsylvania, where he served in the Frontier Rangers during the Revolutionary War, and they both fought. And then Peter's, my uncle, fought in the War of 1812, Peter's brother. And it goes all the way down to Emmanuel O'Neill, my great great grand uncle fought in the Civil War, and he goes all the way back there at D Company 138th Pennsylvania Infantry, and he was at Adamatic Courthouse during the surrender of Robert E. Lee. Which is amazing. He's got an amazing history, my relation all the way up on my dad's side. And he was at Harper's Ferry. He was at Shiloh. He was with all of Sheraton's advances and stuff in the Battle of the Wilderness, all the way down to the surrender. And he's the one that really did the Ranger Creed. His cousin was the first sergeant of his unit. And his cousin was mortally wounded. And he didn't want, you know, they had mass graves and stuff like that during that time frame. And he didn't want his cousin to be buried in a mass grave. So he got permission, and he went through enemy lines, you know how sporadic it was. And he took his cousin all the way back to Bedford, Pennsylvania, and buried him at home. And then went back to his unit and ended up at Adamatic's, at the surrender of Lee and Lee surrendered. So, you know, the Ranger leaving anybody behind, you know?
No, and you've got a long history. I mean, just yourself. I mean, you've been in so many skirmishes and battles and so on and just got banged up, but you kept going back for more. And one thing I highlighted out of your book that I just, and I say it's early in the book, but you said that the Army officially awarded you a Purple Heart, but you refused to accept it. You were young, and you took a lot of pride in doing your job without being injured. You weren't going to wear a medal that showed that the enemy hit his target. At that time, getting a medal for failing at my job made no sense to me. And I'm sitting there going, wow, you know, we got John Kerry out here that'll take a medal for anything, you know. And here we got a young man, you know, just in the Army. I don't even think you were in the Rangers at that point, were you?
No, I was in the 3rd Airborne Brigade.
Yeah. And here you took hits, and you didn't want that medal because you didn't want the stigma, I guess, attached to it, if I'm reading that right.
Yeah, I didn't want to wear a medal on my chest that showed the enemy hit his target. You know, I had a lot of pride back then, and I didn't want that. I made that decision when I was young, and everybody said, well, you can still get your Purple Hearts and stuff. I said, well, I made that decision. I have to live with it, you know. And so that was my decision, and I'm still sticking to it. The Purple Heart is, to me, the Purple Heart is the outstanding award, you know, because it means that you was in heavy battle, and you took a lot. You've taken injuries, okay. The Purple Heart, to me, the guys that lost a limb and limbs and was more wounded than I was, they deserve a Purple Heart. But, you know, when I got shot through the arm and the jaw and my legs and stuff, you know, I was still able to function after they set my wounds and wounds healed. I was still continuing to march, you know, continuing the mission. So because of that, I didn't think I deserved the Purple Heart because, you know, it's a valuable medal that belongs to a guy that lost part of his body, you know.
Correct.
And it was basically a pride thing. I wasn't going to say, yeah, my enemy hit his target. You know, I didn't want that medal. And I didn't, I'm not too much into medals anyway. Action speaks for itself. Your performance of duty, honor, and country, that speaks for itself. I don't need a medal to say, hey, I was brave. I don't need a medal to say, hey, I was good, you know, and stuff like that, you know. I wasn't into the awards and stuff at that time.
Well, Gary, we're coming up on a heartbreaker at the end of the bottom of the hour. You know, you're going to hang on with us, of course, for a little bit, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Because we definitely want to get to the rest of the story here, which there is the rest of the story. Michael, do you have a question?
Well, let's get into this heartbreak. Gary, brother, hang tight because, yeah, I do.
He refused the Pearl Harbor. I mean, you know, that to me just speaks courage. That's courage.
Well, but I'm not surprised, Brother Bean. I'm not shocked at that at all. But let's take this hard break, come back, and join Gary O'Neill, our guest this afternoon. It is 31 minutes after the top of the hour. We're running a little late in this hard break. 718-305-7176. Get in to ask Gary a question if you want. We'll be right back, folks.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now. The opinions, views, and ideas expressed by the hosts, guests, and callers on conservativenationradio.org are exclusively their own and are not necessarily the opinions, views, and ideas of the owners, advertisers, management, or staff of conservativenationradio.org. Thank you for listening to conservativenationradio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on conservativenationradio.org.
And this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, Uncle Bing and Michael B. We do have a great guest on today, Gary O'Neill. Brother Bing, I've lost him on the board. There he is right there. Let me pull him in here.
Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah, I see him. I just didn't see him right at first. It is 34 minutes after the top of the hour. Brother Gary, first of all, I want to say to you. A good friend of mine is Chief Gray Wolf, the principal chief of the Sovereign Cherokee Nation of Tejas, and he's a brother Freemason as well, and just a Cherokee hello to you. Also want to say from our Irish side, my brother, Solancha. Thank you for joining us today. Brother, first of all, welcome home, and thank you for your service. I'm a generation or half a generation behind you. I went in 82. I was 82nd Airborne Division. I heard you say that you were 173rd. I want to thank you for your service, and I want to welcome you home. We've got some folks on the line that definitely want to get in that are vets and say something to you. Did I understand you correctly? When you were in Vietnam, you weren't actually Special Forces at that time. You were 173rd Rangers. I'm sorry, I got a little.
Well, I went from 173rd to Recon, Battalion Recon, to LRPS, and then I went to Rangers, then I went to Special Forces, and I did it all in Vietnam, and then I came home, went to the schools.
Now, were you a LRP with the 101st or with 173rd?
I was a LRP with 1st Field Force. It was
okay.
Echo Company 20th LRPs.
And
20th
for our civilian friends, a LRP is a long-range reconnaissance patrol. Could you explain that just a little bit, Gary?
Well, it was a reconnaissance outfit that was eyes and ears on the ground for the Corps commander. The three-star commander, the Corps commander, that we, the two Corps. So our unit was the largest lerp company in Vietnam. And also, it became in 1969. It started up in 1967 from the Special Forces projects, MEGA project. And when Westmoreland wanted to bring lerps in for eyes and ears on the ground, recon.
Well, I was just going to say, Brother O'Neill, I mean, folks, in hearing Brother Gary explain this, it doesn't sound as dangerous as I understand it to be. When I first got stationed at Bragg, my very first platoon daddy, an E-7 by the name of Sergeant Riddick, who was alert with the 101st, I'll never forget when we went to, in October of 83, when we got... when President Reagan sent the word, you know, we had 18 hours wheels up at Bragg, and you know, that little incident in Grenada, which really wasn't much, but I mean, there was some strategic value in getting rid of that, the runway there, because that was a one-stop flight for the Russians, for the Soviet Union into Nicaragua. You and I kind of crossed times. When you were at the end of your service and I was at the beginning of mine, I don't think folks understand Ortega and exactly what was going on in South America there. But I'm a Cold War veteran. And where I'm going with this, Gary, and I don't want to get into politics. I don't want to paint you in a corner. But having lived in the Cold War and understanding detente and having been in Vietnam, the same as me, this is – my problem with this current administration and the left and folks that are younger than us that don't understand, that didn't grow up when there was a Berlin Wall, when there was a Soviet Union, when you actually fought, when I wrote that blank check and stood to ready to fight against the very things that we see happening to our country today, is there anything you want to say to that? Anything you can impart on our younger listeners?
Well, I tell you, man, every man and woman that serves their country, I got the highest regard to them, because you know that only 1% of the people of the United States, the citizens of the United States, serves in the military. 1%. And now that 1%, you got 1% of that 1% that serves in airborne. Then 1% of the airborne serves in Rangers. And 1% of them serves in special forces or special operations. So my whole key is anybody that wants to be the 1%er, I got the highest regard for.
Thank you.
It's all about the Constitution.
I'm awfully proud of that. Thank you.
And protect the American people. We the people. Okay? Our biggest problem right now is we've been, how do you say it, without getting into politics, as far as I'm concerned, we've been infiltrated. Our political realm, they've gone politics, they've gone money. It's a lot of stuff. Politicians, to me, are hogs at the hog trough. They're feeding off of American people. A lot of them up there, it's not every one of them. Okay, we got some good ones. But the majority of the politicians we have right now are there for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to feed their paycheck, to feed their pockets. Okay? They're not there for what they were designed to be there, and that is to support the Constitution of the United States, you know, from foreign and domestic. And our biggest problem that we have right now is we the people, because we put them in there. We didn't research on who they were, what they was doing, what their agendas are, and what they voted on. And what parties they belong to. I'm talking about parties. Are they members of the Communist Party? Are they members of the American Socialist Party? Are they Israel?
Kinda, I mean,
that's right.
Continue with your thoughts. Well, I wanted to ask you on that. As far as Islam goes, we got a big problem with that here in Tennessee, and I just was wondering what your thoughts are on Islam and how they've gotten into our military. We got Carl Higbee, Navy SEAL. We've got other people that have come on our show and have said this is a big problem. We can't sit there and keep nation building with these people. We got to either cut and run or we got to do something. And I just wondered, what do you think about that?
Well, like we said before, the enemies of America, we got to protect them, both domestic and foreign. And right now, our biggest problem is not foreign. It's domestic. And if people would realize, if they read the Quran, read their history, it's all about history. What they've done, it goes all the way back to George Washington, the first Marine Corps. Where do we get the battle hymn of the Marine Corps? When they, Muslims were taken and hijacking and piracy of our shipping lanes and stuff, or spice ships and stuff like that, whatever they want to do. The United States was paying $1 million during George Washington's administration, the very first administration. Was paying them $1 million to leave our ships alone until the third president of the United States sent the Marine Corps in, and that's where we got the Halls, Mons, Tripoli, the shores of Tripoli, and the Halls of Montezuma. The Barbary Coast went over there and kicked their ass, and it stopped. General Pershing, kicked their ass, and they stopped for 50 years. The only thing that they realize is when they get their ass kicked. And we're babysitting them, we're hen-hauling and stuff like that because of the occupation that we have in our how they say this, on the liberal side.
We're kissing their feet,
Yeah, I'm not a politician, but anybody that comes in and uses a so-called religion of God, a religion, and uses it to do harm's way of the jihad and what they're doing and the terrorist actions they're doing and the war that they had, the Islam is said war to all Christians and infidels. And it's been going on for, since the 600 B.C. or 8th A.D., man. It's from the beginning, And we are sitting here because of political correctness, which has no room, political correctness have no room in our Constitution in American way. They hide behind political correctness. They hide behind different stuff out there to camouflage their actually what they're doing, camouflage the American people through the media. And I don't care what channel you go onto, what TV show, whatever it is, they're pretty much all the same. The political correctness, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't say this, you can't say that. And they're stepping, on our First Amendment, the freedom of speech.
Political correctness is the death knell to this country because you can't say anything anymore,
Well, it's an abridgment. It's an abridgment of our First Amendment rights, and I think. Well, let's elaborate on that. We are up against a soft break here, Brother Gary. Just food for thought coming out of this break. Yesterday was the anniversary of brother, and when I say brother, our military brother, Buzz Aldrin. Any thoughts you might have on that? We'll talk about that and whatever else you want to talk about. We do have some vets on the line that would like to say hello, as well as non-vets.
Yes, a bunch.
But we're up against a soft break here, brother. Brother Bing? Do we have well, I guess you don't have it up. You're having some computer problems. Duke's just going to kick my ass. I'm sorry, Duke. We're a little lacking today on the live reads. We're going to go into our soft break here and make a little bit of money. We'll be right back.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow.
Awesome.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
And this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, Michael B. from Texas Patriot Studios Command, along with my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing Fisher from Tennessee Patriot Studios Command, who's under a little bit of a lightning storm right now. So if he drops off, please stand by. We'll do the best we can, or I will do the best I can by myself. We've got Gary O'Neill on, former 173rd Airborne Ranger and Special Forces veteran. We are very proud to have him on today. And the number 718-305-7176. It is 40 or 50 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Soldiers of Patriotism. You can find us at conservativenationradio.org. We are the mouthpiece of traditionalamericanmovement.com. While we've got Gary on, I just want to take a few minutes, since he is a brother. As you probably all are aware, I have been very involved in the Chris Kyle Memorial Statue by artist Greg Marr out of Sarasota, Florida. I am very proud to say that the live clay got here in March. It has been bronzed. It's done. I can post no more pictures other than the ones that I've already taken of the finished product. It looks fabulous. I know where it's going, but I'm not at liberty to say at the moment. But you know that we are the exclusive network. We are the exclusive media organization that has the behind-the-scenes stuff. So please be looking to conservativenationradio.org and traditionalamericanmovement.com for exclusive photos and updates on the Chris Kyle Memorial Statue. Brother Bing, I want to thank you for getting Brother Gary O'Neill on here with us today. I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to you, but I do want to start trying to weave in some folks as we can to speak with or to say whatever they would like to Brother O'Neill, starting with our young friend, Casey Jones, when we get an opportunity. You know, Casey is that young man that has followed us for a long time and was of the liberal persuasion and has come around. And I'd like to give him the first – and we've got Dustin White on. We've got Ron. We've got Kurt. We've got Scott Whiting. We've got a lot of folks on.
We've got a full board here.
Yeah, we've got a full board.
Everybody wants to talk to Gary.
I would really like to give – I would as a present from you and I to our young friend, Casey Jones, I'd like to give him first chance at Gary O'Neill.
Oh, that's fine. I just want to interject that, you know, we are mobile. So, you know, conservativenationradio.org is fully optimized for smartphones such as Android and iPhone and others. So you can download our podcast or listen to us live wherever you are and wherever you want. So, I just wanted to interject that. But, yeah, I wanted to ask Gary because we had a caller or a person in chat room that wanted to know if he knew a Joe Gennaro, I think it was, that was in deep out there.
Say what now?
Was it Joe Gennaro? Joe Gennaro, I think Joe Gennaro.
Well, I tell you, you know.
Joe Gennaro, at least 4 hours, he said, in NAM on Deep LRP. So he didn't know if you knew him.
Well, if I see his face, you know, and stuff like that, because when you talk about names, you know, the disassociations that we had with names and with my CRS.
Reading your book, you didn't want to get close, really, to anybody, did you?
No. No, I got close to a few, and because, especially being in the herd, in a line company, we lost guys all the time, and the closer you got to them, the more it was vivid. I mean, it was right there in your face all the time. So I learned at an early young age to disassociate names and faces. So if a face come up, I didn't know the name of that face. If the name come up, I didn't put a face to it, you know. And,
was that to protect you or to protect the others?
Well, I think
I'm curious about that because that to me, I was reading into the book and I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty strange, you know. That I mean, I forget names, but you know, I don't sit there and intentionally block them
out. It was basically is a self protection. I don't know where I got it from. I couldn't pinpoint it down. That just came to me, and I think it was a stealth disconnect, so I could continue doing my mission, and I wouldn't have anything personal. I didn't take anything personal. When you take things personal, it puts a different light on everything. I mean, it makes it right there, you know. And if you have a dream, and you can see it, it's right in front of your face, and you can't get rid of it. You know, it blinds you on everything that you want to do. And,
Brother
Gary,
I'm sorry, go ahead,
Mike.
Well, no, I wanted to ask Brother Gary two questions, and then I'd like to bring on Casey Jones, and I'll tell you about him in just a minute. Brother Gary, having served in NAM and being being an esteemed person that we can look to as I don't say this with disrespect, sir, but as an elder of mine and most of us listening, coming back from Vietnam, obviously, you know, I remember I was a teenager. I remember the disrespect that was shown to our Vietnam vets. With our returning vets from the sandbox, I wanted to get your thoughts on that, and I also wanted to, and I don't want to go into politics with you, but I want to get your take on the politics of Vietnam insofar as you know, the body counts and all of that, the daily nightly news. We didn't see that with the last couple of wars. I call it the lamestream media. I think they've done a little bit better job this time around than they've done in the past. But and then lastly, after you answer, we'll bring on Casey. But then lastly, I've noticed, and I was just a Cold War vet. I mean, the only thing that happened while I was in was Grenada, and that was, you know, I spent my time out at Green Ramp there and went through all of that rigmarole, but that was nothing compared to what you went through or the brothers after me that went through Panama with the Ranger Bat or with the Gulf War in 91 or you know, after September 11th. But, you know, I have noticed, you know, because I'm like every vet, I have a thing that says on the back of my pickup truck, it says, you know, U.S. Army veteran. I've been sitting at stoplights, and I've had motorcycle clubs. I've had people drive up and ask me to roll down my window just to thank me. I've seen an uptick in that in the last several years. And I'm like, well, you know, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. But, you know, I was a peacetime soldier. I didn't do what many of our younger brothers and my brothers before me have done, and to which is why I'm internally grateful to you. I just wanted to get your thoughts on those three things, and then we'll bring in Casey Jones, a young man that Bing and I are very impressed with.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll start off with that. You know, coming home from Vietnam was, you know, we're over there fighting. You know, we was fighting hardcore seasoned troops, guys that's been fighting for generations and generations, for hundreds of years, okay, in that Oriental thing, from Chinese to Japanese, you know, all through the generations there, okay? Our politics really messed up that war, okay? And the news media, okay, including Walter Cronkite, okay, was the biggest instigator of that. They should have had news blackouts and stuff. The actual war situations, they didn't film actual battles and everything else that went on TV and stuff. They filmed and talked to guys, you know, that was in the rear echelon people, you know, that was in the base camps, guys that was in headquarters companies, stuff like that. The guys that was on drugs, the guys that was on alcohol, it was always the problem stuff. And everything that came out of Vietnam was always negative, 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 negative. There wasn't nothing positive that came out of Vietnam until the later years that you'll see what the troops actually did on the History Channel or the Military Channel. We didn't see that. It was always negative. And when we came back, several times when I come back, you know, our biggest problem with the PTSD guys, you know, the guys from Vietnam, And what triggered our PTSD more than anybody else was the way we was received when we came back. We would spit on. We had to fight to get out of the airport. Anybody that wore a uniform, that, you know, we had eggs thrown at us. We had tomatoes thrown at us. We had people spitting in our faces. It was terrible. Riots in airports. It was... It was bad, and because of our new troops that have this war in the 90s, okay, the first Gulf War, and then after 9/11, stuff like that. The guys that came back from Vietnam that went into politics, that went in, that are businessmen and own corporations and stuff like that, the veterans organizations went in and said, no more. We will never, ever see that happen again. And so far it hasn't. You know, it brought some pride back because the guys that came back from Vietnam did not want to see a soldier that risked his life and limb and come back and be spit on and take and treated the way that we was treated. And
it's just a slap in the face there, Gary. It's just a slap in the face of people that are right. sitting there that are putting out their life and limb and their life. It don't matter about the limb. It's their lives out there to protect our country, their rights to protect their rights to sit there and do what they did to you when you guys came back.
Hey, yeah. let me jump in here real quick, guys.
But I'd like to get Casey
yeah,
in
well,
here.
Hold your thoughts, because I do have a couple of things we want to bring in Casey. A couple of things we want Gary to. We've only got about 15 or 20 more minutes with Gary, but we're up against a hard break here, brother Gary. And I know that our program director is listening, and I get the biggest ass chewing you've ever heard in your life if I don't follow his hard work and his script. So we'll be right back.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
It always works twice for me. But yeah. You listen to Soldiers of Patriotism on ConservativeNationRadio.org. And the number here is 718-305-7176. And we're talking to warrior and author of American Warrior, Gary O'Neill. And Gary, They can get your book on Amazon, and I reckon through your website as well. And
it's on Amazon, and you can get it in bookstores, Barnes and Noble, Books of Me, and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's so a great book, man. I'm loving it. I read like 25 pages real quick, one night, and it was like just a great read. But I had to go back and I had to look at some of the stuff that you're saying. I'm about three quarters of the way through the book, I have to say, but I didn't get to the ending yet. But it's a great book, man.
And brother Gary, I just wanted to aside from plugging your website, which I want to get on our website as well. And I'm actually. Right Right at the moment, I'm actually in the middle of a book by Jake Dabaczynski, Taste and Tales from Russia, who is an upcoming guest on ours, and I hope you'll join us because he's about my age. I'm 50, and that's going to be a very he grew up in the Soviet Union. That's going to be a very interesting a conversation, one that I think you might like to be a part of. But I wanted to ask you, when we went into that break, you were talking about politicians that came out, and the first one that came to mind, and again, staying away from politics, just as a brother, as a warrior, as a band of brothers, how did you feel with what current Secretary of State John Kerry, I mean, what he did when you guys came back in the early 70s is, and look, I'm not a swift boat person, I was a baby in Vietnam, but I appreciate what the swift boat vets did. I mean, the guy insulted you guys. As far as I'm concerned, he insulted my senior brothers that served in Vietnam.
Yeah, I tell you, man, I lost all respect for the man. I have no respect for him because anybody that serves their country and takes that oath of allegiance to protect the Constitution of the United States, to throw his medals over, no matter how he got them, the respect of the medal that is worn by hundreds of thousands of military throughout the years, you know, to throw them over the fence and denounce Vietnam War and denounce his ability to, you know, to be an American. As far as I'm concerned, he's not an American. He's not. He deserted. He deserted. He's a deserter. He deserted the American way. He threw the Constitution. He might as well just urinated all over the Constitution with the acts that he done. And to have our enemy that we fought against in Vietnam, to have his photograph painting in their museum as a threat to the NBA, yeah. You know, I have no respect for him. And the decisions he makes as Secretary of State has no value. No value for America. None.
Well, he's a piece of crap. In my opinion, I mean, that's just my own opinion, okay? But I wanted to ask one question real quick. I don't know if you were involved in the skirmish over at Hamburger Hill at all.
No,
but, there was a good friend of mine.
Hamburger Hill is the 101st.
Okay, the 101st, yeah. This is a good friend of mine.
I tell you what, man, the 101st did an outstanding job in Vietnam. All the units that served in Vietnam, there were small units, there was divisions. At times, you know, they did a real good job, okay?
It looks to me, Gary, that they were run by the political machine in some aspects, though, because I remember Chester Klinksdale, a good friend of mine, he got gut shot saving his sergeant from a problem, and he was in that Hamburger, you know, he was on that hill, and he said that, you know, that before then that they had orders to shoot anything out of the trees, whether it be monkeys, whatever they could stuff in a body bag, so it would make the war look more palatable to the people back here at home. And he I couldn't fathom that, but
yeah, I tell you, you know, I was in after I left the 173rd, went into the recon, learned the recon, and then the strategic recon. It was a different war for us. It was a more dangerous war, but it was a more rewarding. We was pretty much directed out of the military political realm. we was in a classification that kept divisions, and even the commander, Westmoreland or General Abrams, wasn't read on to some of the stuff that we was doing. So when it comes to the guys in line companies, I have the most respect for, because you're out there with 270 some people in a company, and then you might have a weapons platoon attached to you or something like that. You know, you make a lot of noise, and everybody knows where you're at, okay, at any given time. But when you're running Lurks or Rangers, you're out there with 3 to 5 people or 6 people behind the enemy lines. You're walking in their territory. So it was a little, we didn't have the booby traps. We had, our skills gave us security. Okay, our mental skills and physical, our trade craft, our field craft, I should say,
yeah,
gave us the opportunity to sneak in and out of enemy territory and gather up intelligence for our commanders to make a rash decision on tactics.
Just to let you know, Gary, the guy that does their little drops here, you know, welcome to Soldier to Patriot, you know, that kind of thing, he's an Army Ranger, too. And I just love the dude, man. It's just, he's an ex-bandmate of mine, and just I just love him. But I want to get Casey on here, Michael, if we can. He's been waiting quite a long time.
Well, we've got a full lineup, and we're coming up against the soft break. We're coming up against the soft break. Let's pull in our listeners, and we'll start off with Casey. Gary, I just want to let you know, first of all, Casey is a young man. I forget exactly what state he's from. I want to say Florida, but he's 15-year-old. He is a good friend of ours. He started off as a of the liberal persuasions. And Bing and I are so proud that this young man has found God, and he's come around. I don't want to say he's all the way to the right like Bing and I, but the man is the young man is starting to understand and starting to come into his own. He's got a question or two for you, and whatever you want to say to him. We're really proud of Casey Jones. Casey, are you there? Dustin White, you're on deck. I'd like for you, as a brother veteran from the Gulf War, to come in behind Casey. So, Casey, come on in here. Brother Bing, I got to step away. Someone's at my door.
Hey, guys. Hey, I just want to let you all know I live in Texas.
Oh, Texas, yeah. Well, he's in your state, Michael, but... Hey, I had to step away, but go ahead and ask away, Casey.
Okay, Gary, did you feel whenever you went to get enlisted, did you feel that you needed to you felt like you were to serve your country better if you went a little bit early into the Army, or?
Well, it was like a target of opportunity. I've always... There's just something inside me. I think it's DNA, really, because what my family has done, and on my dad's side, and what my family on my mother's side has done is on the warrior side. I was always driven to that, and I loved the military. I liked the shows. I think Audie Murphy was probably one of the, and Sergeant York. And Audie Murphy was they was my heroes, other than John Wayne. But I was always drawn to that. And it just seemed natural to me. And so it's like me wanting to go skydiving. I was drawn to the air. And so I started skydiving when I was 13. If I wanted, you know... My dad gifted me that ability for living on the ranch and stuff. that he, the independence, he taught me how to be an independent person. You know, when I was young, you know, I was working in the fields, I was raising horses, I was doing all kinds of stuff at a young age. I grew up really fast on a ranch. But other than that, I don't know. It was a spiritual being event to be in the military.
Okay. And one final question for you. Where can I get your book?
You can go on Amazon. It is Amazon Books, American Warrior. And just my name, you can Google it up. Barnes & Noble, local bookstores. You can order it at a local bookstore. It's all over the internet and stuff now. And I'm all over the internet. Before, not too many people knew me outside the community, the special ops community, until I got in the Ranger Hall of Fame, and then everybody, I'm all out there everywhere now.
Okay. Well, that's all I got for you.
It's a pleasure meeting you, Casey.
I think we're going to go ahead and give you a book, because as long as you promise to us that you will pass this around. Now, you've been pretty good with us as far as, you know, other things, but yeah, as long as you promise to pass it around, give other people the opportunity to read it, we will send you a book out.
Okay.
How's that sound, man?
That'll be cool. Casey, I'll get with you. Michael at conservativenationradio.org, ccbing@conservativenationradio.org. We will get that information to Brother O'Neill, and we will get you a book, okay?
Okay.
Yes, I'll be proud to.
Thank you.
Stand by, Casey, for our roundtable, okay? Hey, brothers, we're up against a soft break here. Let's do this real quick. We'll come in with Dustin White at the after the soft break, okay?
Yep.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman, something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right, but don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve 2037 doesn't get his hands on a cool time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on conservativenationradio.org.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism on the conservativenationradio.org, the mouthpiece for traditionalamericanmovement.com. We do have Gary O'Neill, former Special Forces Army, a brother of mine, a band of my brothers, joining us this afternoon. We just had Casey Jones on speak to him. Casey, stand by for our roundtable. We're down to the last few remaining minutes of our visit with Brother O'Neill. And we've really got to get in. We've got a board stacked with people that want to get in and talk to Gary. Gary, if you could just give us a few more minutes. I want to start off with a brother of ours, Gary, who served over in the sandbox Brother Dustin White. Dustin, are you there? What do you have for Brother O'Neill?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead. The mic is yours.
It's a pleasure meeting you, Dustin. Oh,
the pleasure is all mine, sir. First off, I don't think thank you is a big enough word or statement. I'll make it really quick. The last caller was asking you what made you decide to go to the military. From everything you said, you have warrior blood in your veins. I don't think you would have it any other way. And my question is, what was your hardest transition from coming out of the special ops into the civvy world, especially as a warrant officer? There's not a lot of those in the military coming out of the Navy. They're few and far between. Like a chief, you guys are the backbone of all military, and I appreciate your service, and I'll let the other people get on board. Thanks again.
Thank you, Dustin.
Thank you, Dustin.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dustin. The hardest thing for me when I transitioned out was called integrity. Our battle buddies that we served with in the trenches, you know, the feelings you get from them are closer than blood relation. And when you got out in the civilian world, you know, you get lied to. It's all me, 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 me. I. There's no teamwork. There's no integrity. Very little integrity. And that was the hardest disappointment that I ever had to adapt to, is the mistrust I had in the American people. And being around the military pretty much my whole life, you know, yeah, there's guys in there that you can't trust and stuff like that. But the unit I was in, you know, you had to trust, because you had to be that, to have that integrity and have that esprit de corps, that you don't lie to them, you don't BS them, you know, you talk trash to the girls and to people that don't know what you're doing or anything. You know, everybody does that, you know, but the person that you are closest to, you know, loyalty, you know, teamwork and loyalty. You don't find loyalty and integrity in the average corporate world, the average American world. They don't teach that in schools nowadays. That's the biggest problem we have.
Brother Gary, I want to bring on, I'm sorry, go ahead, Bing.
No, I was gonna echo that. That is a big problem. We don't teach a lot of things in school that we should be teaching, you know. But then again, the government really should not be in the market for teaching our children anyways, because once you give them the mic, once you give them the platform, they will sit there and screw it up, and they will teach our kids their own indoctrination that they want.
Exactly. We don't have public schools anymore. We have government schools.
Right.
They don't teach the history. They don't. They just have little blurbs on American history, a paragraph, for all the way down until after the Civil War, and then it starts with the slavery all the way through. And our kids are taught one thing: how to pass a test. It's not the education they get. We got kids that go into junior college. They can't go into college because they can't read or write. Their English is completely done. You know, I never graduated from high school, but I took college, and I formed up my education and stuff on my own. And I went to college and stuff like that, you know, the GI Bill and stuff, you know. But as far as seeing what I see when I go visit high schools and teach patriotism and stuff like that, the books that I see picked up from students and look through them, that's unreal. We're teaching how, we're training our, we're dumbfounding our kids. We're dumbing them down. And if we don't get our kids back,
then we are going to lose this country. Our kids are the most important part. They are our future. Our elders are our knowledge and our path. They're the ones that keep us from recreating the wheel. But our kids, our American kids, are our future. And if we don't train them right, then we're turning into a sheep. And
they are our strength. We can impart wisdom onto them, but they are our strength because, you know, us, face it, you know, as old guys, we can't do much anymore, you know, but they are our strength. And, yeah, they need to learn the correct things and so on. But
it all comes down to being part of the solution and not part of the problem. If you're not working on the solution, you are the problem. And that's the biggest part of American society now since we went to school back in the 60s, 50s, and 60s, and early 70s, it started changing. And look at the history of Khrushchev when he came over and beat on the pulpit up there in the United Nations and what he said, you know, that we were not – we cannot take America on because behind every blade of grass, there's a weapon. We can't do it because the American people, the strength of American people. So they'll work. They said, we will destroy America within by the weakest source of America, and that's through the education system, and that's exactly what they have done. They have got in, infiltrated our information system of the schools, and they infiltrated into our media system. And now we are living the exactly thing that they started back in the 60s. It goes all the way back, socialism and everything else, you know, it goes all the way back to the 40s, you know, the Rockefeller day.
Well, I wanted to ask you a little bit about that, back in Rockefeller, but what I want to ask you, how do you feel about the don't ask, don't tell policy in the armed forces right now?
Well, that's a sticky subject to me. As far as I'm concerned, you know, what people, the freedoms of America, you know, as long as they don't take it and force it on you, you know, and stuff, you know, that's their business, okay?
What was wrong with that policy in the first place? I mean, if you just, you know, keep your mouth shut and, you know, do your job, right?
Is trying to demoralize the American soldier, to demoralize the American strength, okay? That's the whole agenda.
Am I mad, guys?
Our American people are American soldiers. That is our strength. And if they take that strength away from us, then what's America have?
Am I mad, guys?
Yeah, you're here, Michael.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. My Skype link dropped. I know Duke's going to be awfully upset at me, but we're at the bottom of the hour, and I'm going to milk Gary for everything that we can milk him for. We're going to forego our heartbreak. Brother Duke, please forgive me, but this is an opportunity that we don't get very often, and we've got stacked lines, a lot of people that want to talk.
We've got an American warrior here, man. This guy has been, been through hell and back, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
I definitely want to get... Want to ask him some more questions?
Absolutely.
For me being the hell and back, I don't look at it that way. I'm an American. I'm proud to be American, and I will fight for our rights and our freedoms. Our freedoms is the same thing that God gave us. Our Constitution is based off of family values. And they're trying to destroy the families. They're trying to destroy the mother and fathers and the family traditions and morality. And you know, it's a – we're – America right now is fighting we're going to be in a fight for our lives here in the next 4 or 5 years. Now,
well, I appreciate that, Brother Gary, but we mean it. Bing and I are the veterans radio show. I'm a vet. My brother Bing is right there with me.
I tried to get every one of them, and I couldn't get in.
I'm
preaching to the choir then.
You know, we are the
vet. A lot of listeners listening in right now, they want to get online and they want to talk to you. But
we've got stack lines. I want to bring in Brother Kurt Blackwood just real quickly before I introduce him. You were talking about education. You know, that's just a proud symbol. This federal education, this education secretary, that's just a proud symbol of a cavalier nation. You know, I mean, look where we're at now with this Common Core and teaching socialism and haters of men. It's just it's beyond me. But that said, Brother Gary, we've got Kurt Blackwood, an elder statesman among our circles, a man that I know what he's going to say as soon as he comes on. But I say that in all seriousness. This is a man that I esteem very much. He is the Republican County GOP, and I'm not a big GOP. I quit the GOP. I belong to the American Conservative Party now. But Kurt Blackwood is a man that I look to and that I respect with every ounce of my heart. Kurt Blackwood, come on in here.
Thank you, Michael. Bing. Warrior Gary O'Neill, may I salute you, sir.
Hey, it's a pleasure meeting you, sir. It's a pleasure meeting you.
And I want to thank you for your service. There are no words. I don't have the right words that are adequate to my depth of feeling for the service that you have rendered this country. I would like to ask you one question. If you might have crossed paths with a couple of friends of mine, one of them being a retired Air Force colonel named Jim Harding, who flew a prop craft in Nam at the time. I think probably the same time you were there, you ever heard of him or met him?
No, there was a lot of people over there.
Okay. I understand.
I didn't know a lot of the guys that was in my company, you know.
Okay, I got you.
So, you know.
Yeah, and if you read his book, you will understand that correct me if I'm wrong, I think I asked you this already, that you did not really want to get personal with a lot of people because you didn't think that they were going to make it out.
Talking to the Air Force and bringing in fast movers and the FAC and stuff like that protected us, you know, if it wasn't for the Air Force, I wouldn't be here talking at this time. The Air Force did such an outstanding job in Vietnam. The FAC drivers, you know, the guys that risked their lives, that stayed up in the air because we were so far behind the enemy lines and stuff, we had no communications except for the FAC drivers. And if it wasn't for those guys and the fast movers and the Skyhawks and the gunships, and the arc light missions and stuff, I wouldn't be here. I tell you, I got the highest respect for the Air Force. Those guys did us an awesome job, and I've worked with a lot of Air Force TACPs. I've worked with a lot of CCT guys, the Combat Talon guys. It's such a great crew, you know. We all wear the same hat. We might be in different branches, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard. We all wear the same hat. And the hat is the Constitution.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And Kurt, you had another question, I think, Kurt.
No, not any more questions, really. I just, like I said, Gary, my hat's off to you, brother. Appreciate your service, and I'm going to make sure Colonel Harding and myself gets a chance to read your book as soon as possible. He's one heck of a great guy. He flew 500 missions and dropped driven craft over there, and that's why I'm so proud to have made his acquaintance, the job that he's done, and you and he have, you're in the same league as far as I'm concerned. So anyway,
well,
I really appreciate it.
And what you're doing at the GOP and the Republican Party, you got a hard job to do. Okay?
Yeah,
you're competing against a socialist organization. 1944, the Democratic Party adopted the socialist program 100% of it. Okay? Mm-hmm. We gotta keep the Republicans straight. And we got to keep the Republicans from assassinating the elephant and turn it into a two-headed donkey, you know?
There you go.
We will put you in touch with Brother Kurt, Gary. Colonel Harding's been on our show. He's a great man. You'll love the guy.
Fantastic. The stories he has is unbelievable. I mean, just, you know, the combat time, 5,000 hours, I think, in a plane. I mean, that's a lot of hours.
I'm a pilot myself, but you know, I didn't fly until after I got back to the States and stuff. I did a little bit when I was shot up in our local. They put me in the aviation unit until I got my legs back, and then went back to the rucksack, you know. But I flew in the little birds and the gunships and stuff because of my weapons experience and everything. But I tell you, man, it's I love flying. I love the air, and I've jumped out of practically everything that's jumpable. you know.
You know, you can survive out of, maybe. I don't know. You know,
I've done C-131, C-140s in Huey, the utility. Damn, the nomenclature escaped me already. UH-1H. The fact I did my UH-1H, I did two. You're familiar with Bragg, brother O'Neill, Montlake. I did two with 7th Group. I did two water jumps into Mott Lake with 7th Group from 1,000, and the best two jumps. But I got to tell you, I love the C-130 jump. I didn't care too much. I came in. We did. I ended up when I got to Bragg. I ended up in the 3/4 ADA with the Stinger and Vulcans. You know, because I was an 05B. I was a combat radio operator. All I did was carry a Prick 77. I thought I'd end up in the 504th or something like that, but I ended up in one of the bastard battalions.
I spent some time in the 504.
I ended up in one of the bastard battalions, and you know, imagine a prick, you know, a grunt prick operator in a bastard battalion like the 3/4 ADA. But we made a trip from Bragg to Fort Bliss. We came in over the Pecos Mountains here in Texas. And we started flying Nap of the Earth, and the jump master opened up, because that's when we started rigging up. And, you know, we're just outside of McGregor Range, outside of El Paso there in New Mexico, and we're flying Nap of the Earth. The jump master opens the door, and he lets go of everything that was, but at the time it was C-rations. We had not went yet to MREs. We were still, you know, ate the C-rations. Let go of everything that was in his stomach, and all four sticks, you know, the outside sticks, the inside sticks, it was like a chain reaction. And I was the first person standing at the front of my stick ready to go out. And it was snowing. We were jumping in from 1,000 feet. And, you know, we did the four-point landings. And, you know, I couldn't even do a banana roll on that son of a bitch. It was like my feet hit the ground. It was like a standing landing. It was really what it was like. But that was after I had puke all over down, you know, my utilities. But we've got, look, Brother Kurt, hang tight for roundtable. I want to find out what's going in Henry County. But Brother Gary, we've got a lot of folks in here we need to run through that want to say something to you. Brother Ron, are you there?
Yes.
I'm here.
Hey Ron, how you doing down there in Georgia, man?
Oh, we're doing fine. How about you?
I'm fine.
Well, I like to just thank this guy for his service. He's done us all proud, and we're mighty proud to know him. But let me put a statement in on what y'all were talking about back when you were talking to just him. You said something about how Americans didn't have our rights of free speech and things were being taken away from us and nobody was able to do that anymore. Well, I got news for you. There is a group of people that can do that. That's the Muslims. They have the rights to say any damn thing they want to say to us, and also the blacks to say any damn thing they want to us and call us anything and anything, and we got nothing to say about it.
Now, well, I believe that too. Just like what you're doing to that Christian, the so-called religious organization that's going to the funerals of our veterans, our fallen comrades. You know, that's there. You know, we'll always have that. But the only thing I was saying was, you guys didn't come back like the Vietnam veterans came back, you know.
The Westboro Church,
you know, I am really proud of you guys. You know, I've trained with you. I've worked with you until 2007, and I'm still working with you. I've been back and forth over there. I don't like the desert. I don't like the ROE that our politicians are putting on and our generals are putting on our troops, and it's costly. But we don't, I tell you what, we got a major leadership problem in the United States. A major leadership problem. And we've got guys that've been in the war zones. There's a big difference between being in a war zone and being in combat, okay? You know, Afghanistan and Iraq and that Yemen and all that area over there, that's a war zone. Okay, the guys that's been in combat is slinging bullets off and on. Those guys have been in combat, but you got people that sit back and make decisions 3,000 miles away, sitting in a leather chair, armchair bandit, that are making decisions and taking away the power and taking away the knowledge from a ground command. You know, we have a big communication and leadership problem in our
Well, they're on their general. You know, there's always this hindsight, you know, 2020 kind of thing going on, you know. There's always that. And it kills me because there's also, I don't know, I guess it would be foresight 2020, where they think that they can sit there and dictate what's going on. I remember my buddy, I was telling you about Chester Klingsdale, Hamburger Hill, and I wanted to relate this story because he said that they used to come on AP mines, you know, anti-personnel mines all the time. And, you know, that would just devastate a platoon, you know. But then Charlie got smart and started putting toe poppers in, he called them. And so what happened was the toe poppers would only maybe maim your foot, you know, blow a toe off, whatever. And so when they found one, they would start, the rest of the troop would start pouncing on them, trying to find them, because it would take you to the rear with the beer, you know. So, you know, he was going like, wow. He was young. And he just could not figure it out. But then Charlie got smart again and started putting regular anti-personnel mines back in. And you cannot fight a war.
Changed it up back and forth. When we started finding out what the deal is on it, then they switched. You know, that's why I say we talked about Islam, these jihads and Taliban and stuff. Basically, those guys are cowards. They're complete cowards. They only pick on targets of opportunity. They never fight one-on-one. They go after civilians. They go after mass destruction of lives. Not the guys that shoot and kill them. They're going after the kids and the women and non-combatants.
The people that won't fight back.
That's right.
You know, or can't fight back. And, you know, well, it's disgusting. It's It's absolutely disgusting to me, you know, because they will not take on. They're cowards. They are cowards. Thank you, Gary. Thank you.
Well, guys, we're running down to the end of our show here. We've got a few more people that Gary, that, and I want to thank you for staying long with us. Thank you very much, my brother.
Thank
we've
you
got
so
a couple of more guys here that want to get in and shout at you, and we've got our host for tomorrow night. We need to get on here. So let's go ahead. Dave, stand by. Scott Whitten, you got a live mic. Chuck, you're on deck. What do you got for Brother Gary?
Well, for me, I can say that in high school, since I was pretty much a kid when you served, I was given a assignment to interview a military veteran and write a paper on it. Most of the kids, went to their relatives or something that had served in World War II or Korea. I didn't have one. However, I found a Vietnam vet named Joe Rakasis, and the interview that he gave me was completely unvarnished. His experience mirrors an awful lot of what you've said, and at 18 years old at that time, with the details and things that I'd learned from him, it probably took me 20 years before I was ever willing to buy a Michelin tire again. Thank you for your service.
Well, I appreciate it, and thank you for what you've done. Thanks for being an American.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott. Gary, Scott is a good friend of ours from Tennessee. He's he helps us a lot with traditionalamericanmovement.com and conservativenationradio.org. He's a fantastic graphic artist. I want to bring in Chuck now, and then Dave, you're on deck to promote your tomorrow night show after we wrap up with we may go a little bit longer than what Duke would have us do, but Chuck, go ahead. Final words to you to our guest, Gary O'Neill, who is a veteran of the United States Army 173rd, Ranger Bat, and Special Forces, a hero, an American patriot, and being
author of American Warrior. Great book.
Author of American Warrior. Chuck, last word to you.
Hello. How are you all today?
Can you hear me?
Well.
Okay. First of all, I want to say I appreciate everything that our military does for us, but I think that we're asking way too much of them. I don't think that they need to be in harm's way every day, every year, for decades on end. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but personally, I'd rather have the resources allocated towards production instead of towards warfare. That's going to help our economy.
I
got the floor. Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Egypt, Libya, whatever. Right? How's that working for us? Is that helping our economy at all? No, it's not. Is spending money that we don't have to go after people that hate us. Really? Okay.
That's the government.
I'm done. You need to get rid of the government. I can clarify that up because I got the same attitude, okay? We're not letting our guys do their job, okay? They're misusing our military because of lack of leadership, because we're or basic leadership, politically and military, okay? We've got guys that's been in war zones but never been in combat that are directing the operations out of school books. We are going after an organization that's been there for hundreds of years, since the 16 AD, and we're not learning. We're not going back. We're recreating the wheel. And we're misusing the government's money. We're misusing the taxpayers' money. The production that we should have, that you talked about, is their local business guys, the local corporations, the small businesses. We need to get this bill back up. We need to get our economy bill back up. We don't need to be spending money on $1 billion on cell phones so people can do their drug deals. We don't need to be spending a lot of money. We need to tighten up our belts. If we're going to send guys in harm's way, we need to send them in there, do their dang job, track them, find them, and kill them, and then bring them back out. And let special operations train the units to do their job, and to build the infrastructure of that country. We're not doing our job.
I would have to agree with you, brother Gary. And to Chuck's question, I agree with Chuck wholeheartedly. But as a veteran, you as a veteran, I think you and I would both agree, and as well as Dustin White or any other veteran that's listening, when you're in uniform, when you do it, and I know Chuck agrees with, I know Chuck, he's a good dear friend of mine. I love him dearly. And he knows that we're on the same page. As a soldier, ours is not to reason why, ours is just to do or die.
Do or die, right.
With that, brother Gary, closing remarks, please, sir. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining us today. Thank you for your service. Welcome home, and God bless you, sir.
Yeah, I want to echo that, Gary, too. I mean, and please tell Tiffany that she's doing a bang up job.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. She's my little pit bull.
And we will get Casey Jones's information to you to get that book to Casey Jones, our young man that had the first crack at talking to you.
Okay, that's a great pleasure. Some of the guys that he gets to talk to. But the last closing statement I have is be part of the solution and not part of the problem.
Correct.
For America.
And your website.
God
your
bless America and we the people.
And American Warrior by Gary O'Neill. All you got to do is search for it. It's all over the place. So you can get it anywhere.
Thank you so much, Brother Gary. Stand by for the end of the show. Brother Bing, before I take us out musically today with our last rock and roll minute, what do you got?
Oh, myself? Oh,
yeah.
For our last rock and roll minute? Well, no, we got Dave Vance up here. Dave, how you doing, bud?
Dave's got a hot mic. Dave, I'm sorry. Dave's got a hot mic.
A hot mic?
Yeah, you got a hot mic, man. Welcome aboard, Dave Vance from Inside Tennessee.
Hey, Bing, Mike. How's it going? Hey, great show. And hey, thanks to Gary for your service. And hey, let's put the troops on the DMZ, and let's throw the enemy that we have in our country out. I think that'd be a good start. And I say that.
What
as
do you
a
got
veteran.
Tomorrow night, Dave?
Tomorrow night on Inside Tennessee, we're going to talk a little bit about beating Lamar. I went to the Beat Lamar rally yesterday, and we don't have a candidate yet. But guess what? We got a whole lot of people who know that they don't want Lamar Alexander again. And I'll tell you what: if we find just a decent person, he will get instant name recognition, and there will be the money there to beat this guy. Because Lamar.
Well,
do I need to talk to Joe about this or what? You know,
Lamar is the. Go ahead.
I've got a young man that called me just before the show started. A fellow from Tennessee, there, Dustin White. He spoke with us briefly to Gary just a few minutes ago. He's still listening to us, but we don't have the time to bring him on. I need to connect you two guys and connect him with Joe. Being he's pretty pissed off. He's done with everything, and he's ready to make some changes with Lamar Alexander. But he is looking for some direction. So Dave, be looking for a DM. That will include you, Joe, and Bing, because Dustin is ready to rock and roll.
Sounds great. There's going to be a – matter of fact, there's a few different organizations working on this, and there's going to be a vetting committee, I believe at the end of August, that different groups are going to get involved with and say, okay, this is what we're looking for. And once the one person is decided on, that's who everybody is basically going to agree to support. So we'll have Ben Cunningham on tomorrow night to tell us a little more about that. We're going to have Kathy Henners from Daily Roll Call. She's an ex-police officer from upstate New York, but she lives in Tennessee now. And we're going to do a little Demme update, kind of point out those in our state who are basically bending over backwards to appease the Islamists. And unfortunately, that includes our state government, Bill Haslam and Bill Gibbons, our DHS director. And then we're going to have Richard Archie from Tennessee Firearms Association for pulling out. He's going to pretty much take the last hour. He's going to give us a little bit on the history of gun rights in Tennessee. We're going to talk about the parking lot bill that had there was some controversy with last year. And of course, it didn't quite come across as the way it was supposed to. So we're probably going to have to go back and work on it some more next year, because there's some people who still would like to fire people if they practice their Second Amendment right and bring the weapon on their property. And then we're going to talk, of course, about Stand Your Ground in Tennessee. So it should be a good show. We're going to have some very informed guests and hopefully a lot of callers and hopefully a lot of listeners. But, hey, great
Dave,
show today, guys, and appreciate everything.
Great deal, man. You're doing a great
show,
job.
Time again?
Inside Tennessee.
Inside Tennessee from 6 to 8 Central.
On the Conservative Nation
Radio. Sorry about
Thank
that.
Thank you very much, Dave. You're my brother. I love you, man.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Y'all take care.
And we are the mouthpiece for traditionalamericanmovement.com. Being final words, then we've got to get out of here, bro.
I just got to say, what a great guest with Gary O'Neill. I mean, just a fabulous, you know, warrior, a man that went into, you know, the armed forces, you know, because he wanted to, you know. And he's proud of everything, and he should be proud of everything he's done, you know. And when you read his book and just, you know, get American Warrior by Gary O'Neill, just go ahead and Google it, search for it. You'll find it. It's a great read, man. I mean, the guy don't pull no punches. It's
absolutely.
Casey,
email Bing and I. It's michael@conservativenationradio.org.
conservativenationradio.org.
Yep, absolutely. Get us your postal address. We'll get it to Mr. O'Neill, who will get a book to you. To Gary, thank you so much, my brother. Be looking for we've got some great guests. We've got authors that are contacting us all the time, one of which is Dake Danchevitsky, Aftertaste and Tales from Russia. This is going to be a great show. I just got the book yesterday, Brother Bing. It's going to be a two-part series that's going to include the second part with our host and our program director, Duke Brooks, on Wednesday nights on Radio Free America. This has been Soldiers of Patriotism. Folks, I bet you're wanting to know who's taking us out today. July 21st. Go ahead, bro.
No, I was going to say, also, you know, if you like the show and you like the host and you like the topics and you like the guests, then please go ahead and share us, man, because, you know, share us on Facebook, Twitter, everywhere, you know. Just put,
absolutely,
you know, give us some loving, because it comes back and you'll learn
absolutely
something, hopefully.
Well, this is our last rock and roll minute of the day on July 21st, 1988. As part of his sentence for his notorious drug and getaway spree, a South Carolina judge orders James Brown to put on a concert to benefit the police and children's charities. Brown complains to the press that the state is trying to get free concerts out of his misfortunes, I should say. So with that in mind, this has been Soldiers of Patriotism, and I feel good.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.